Let's take our Bibles this morning, turn into the book of Philippians, and I want us to go down to the third chapter of the book of Philippians. Paul has given us something here. I pray that it would be a blessing. I hope that it would be of help to you, a strength to you. It has been to me for years. Every time I read this scripture, this is familiar scripture. Matter of fact, I say that a lot of times, but all the Bible ought to be familiar. Two or three little amens on that. All the Bible ought to be familiar to the people of God. Amen. You know, if you've been in the Word a long time and then somebody quotes a scripture wrong, you can pick up on it. Every once in a while they'll get one that you don't know for sure and you have to look it up, don't you? But we ought to be so familiar with our Bible that we could tell when somebody misses one word. You said, I can't get there. Oh, yeah, you could. You just ain't. Amen. We done wasted too much time, most of us. Amen. We're going to wait till we get, you younger folks, you're going to wait till you get older. You learn the Word of God. And then one of these days when you get to where you want to learn the Word of God, you won't have enough brain to do it. You'll have a brain to read it, but it won't stay. It passes through the house. Amen. And you can't see it. And you have to get you some of these things and another one, amen, big one in front of it to see it. Amen, get about as blind as a bat, as they say. And so you need to study the Word of God now. Study it, all right? In the book of Philippians, please stand and let's read together. In chapter number 3, verse number 10. Verse number 10, chapter 3, book of Philippians. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, because being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Paul said, I ain't arrived yet. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You can be seated. Father, as we bow in Your divine presence, I pray that Your touch might be upon us. Lord, we might speak today as the oracles of God, or we wish we had spoken when we stand in the judgment. And I pray, God, that the moving of the Spirit of God might be upon our hearts, that You might stir us and move us. Lord, that we might listen, that we might hear, not only hear and listen, but God, may we heed what we hear, apply it to our life, and may what we preach today not only get in our head, but down in our heart, and then flow out into our hands and feet, and God, go out for the glory of God. I pray Your will might be done in my heart and the hearts and lives of these men and women. Touch this church and this group of people. Lord, if there's one today that's made the profession that they're saved and did not get, Lord, birthed into the family, I pray You'd reveal that to them. If there's one, Lord, today that's lost and never come to the knowledge of the truth, God, I pray this will be the day for it. And Lord, I pray for that, and it might be discouraged. And Lord, I pray You'd encourage their heart. And for the saints of God, I pray, Lord, You'll pour out a special cup of blessing upon them. We'll give You the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. I was reading in this verse or this portion of Scripture. When I got down to verse number 14, I thought I'd just preach on the press toward the mark. And I went back to read it again. And when I got back up in verse number 10, I never got out of the first verse or the first part of that verse. Paul said that I may know Him. And real quickly and strangely, the Spirit of God turned my heart from pressing toward the mark to wanting to know Him. And that's what I'm going to preach on this morning. I thought, how many have said that? Paul said that I may know him. What does it mean that I may know him? Some of you I know in here, but I don't know. In other words, I know of you. I know a little bit about you, but I don't know you. And I got to thinking about it. The Lord put a few thoughts in my mind, and I thought, now me and my wife, we've been married 53 years. Out of 53 years, I can believe I can say this morning I know her. And I believe she knows me. Matter of fact, I sometimes can just about picture and tell you what she's going to do next. And when I say something to her, I know what she's going to say back. Knowing that, sometimes I have to refrain. And knowing that, sometimes I ain't got the guts to do it. I got to do it anyhow just to get something stirred. Understand? And vice versa. Husbands and wives, you know what I'm talking about. But Paul said that I may know him. Some of you have heard about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Some of you have read about him. Some of you have been saved by him and birthed into his family, and you belong to him as his child, but you still don't know him. It takes a long time to know him. Let me share this with you. I got to looking. Did anybody else in the Bible get that little part? And has this ever happened again or before? So I want you to take your Bible this morning and go to the book of Exodus, please. In the book of Exodus, we're going to use a lot of scriptures and scriptures that you know and most of you can quote, but we want to look at them. I found out in my later days and years that scriptures mean more to me by looking at them word for word than they do when I just used to look at them overall. And I want to see what they're talking about. Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. Moses is dealing with God, and God is dealing with Moses. And the journey is going on. He's leading the Israelites through the wilderness. I say God had been with Moses, and I say that Moses had been with God. But I want you to see what he says in verse 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, now Moses is talking to God. Do you ever do that? Not as often as you should, but you do it. Amen. You know what I just did? I just smacked you on the top of the head for not praying. You didn't even catch it. Amen. So it said, and Moses said unto the Lord, see thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Moses is talking to the Lord. Verse number 13, he goes on to say, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may what? Know thee. So Paul wasn't first. That I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken. For thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. Moses said, I want to know you. I want to know you. Well, let's just look and see what God did. If you'll turn over to chapter 34 in the book of Exodus, we'll find something going on. In chapter number 34. Verse number 5. The Bible said, and the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him. Now, when God stands with you, you get a chance to know him, don't you? He said, and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. So the Lord showed up, and you can go home and read the rest of that, where that the Lord showed up. To be able to know him, you have to be with him. Amen. And I'm glad, thank God, I'm in his family. He knows me. You work on a job with somebody. Say you work 10, 15 years with somebody. It don't take that long usually. But you'll begin to know them more and more. You begin to know what they like, what they don't like, or what their attitude is towards something, what their attitude is not towards something. The reason I know many of us don't know too much about the Lord himself is because we don't try to act like him and do like him, and his ways do not rub off on us. You know what? If you've got a good friend, I've had a few good friends, and I've had some fair weather friends. I've had some good friends. I've had some that stick with me, and I've had some that wasn't too sticky. I've had some that cut your throat in a heartbeat. Some of my best friends have turned out to be my worst enemies. You've had that to happen to you too. And you think you know them, but you don't know them. And the Bible said that Jesus is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I've been walking with him. He's been walking with me. He found out what kind of rascal I was long time ago, but I cannot put any fault on the Son of God. He's been good. Been better than good, marvelous, glorious, merciful, loving, long-suffering. Thank God, what a Savior. And I give him the praise and the glory this morning. But that's because I've walked with him, tried to talk with him. And you cannot this morning walk with Jesus contrarily or walk against him and enjoy his fellowship. Now, the reason this morning you don't have good fellowship with the Son of God this morning, can it be? Could it be? Is it possible this morning that there's something in your life that you're not willing to give up? Something in your life that you're not willing to do? Is there something in your life that you know is contrary to God and you won't give it up? You won't fool with it? You don't want to do that because you'll become different than what you are and what you're doing now you know is wrong? Is there a good possibility? That's the reason you don't know him. Don't want to know him? Think about that. Well, I want to give you some scriptures about him. We talk about Jesus this morning. Jesus. Jesus. What a name. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 1. Now, I know this is not Christmas. It just has got out of Christmas. And I preach these Christmas scriptures all year long. Amen. It's the Word of God, and it's my job to preach the Word. But I want you to look at Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, we use this so often at Christmas. Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 21. The Bible said, and she shall, and this, let me go back and tell you that Joseph is being spoken to by God or by an angel of the Lord. And it said in verse number 21, and she shall bring forth a son, that's Mary, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's a divine name. That was his name. He had to be, he got a heavenly name. He was named before he ever got here. He was named, if you will, before he was ever conceived. But look with me in verse number 25. And knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. I like that name, Jesus, don't you? Amen. It's a title. And that title is the most used title of the Son of God as any I know. Throughout Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, the word Jesus is mentioned time and time and time again in the book of Acts, and then all the epistles all the way through, even into the book of Revelation, all the New Testament books lift him up as Jesus. That's his earthly name. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. Jesus, Jesus. At the name of Jesus. What a sweet name. I can be in the midst of turmoil. We're going to talk about that. I can be in the midst of crisis. And you can whisper the name of Jesus. And for some strange reason, things just take on a new light. Got to thinking while we're sitting there, and we have this little old song that we sing all the time, and we're going to do it right here together. It's called "There's Something About That Name." And I'm going to start off with it and probably make a mess out of it, but we're going to sing it. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Amen. Ain't that right? Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away. Sing it. But there's something about that name. Ain't that right? Jesus. What a name. Praise God, I'm glad I know him. Amen. Thank God I know he knows me. What a praise. Amen. I get comfort from that name in crisis. When I can't see past my nose and can't figure out anything. My mind's all boggled. My life is in shambles. Amen. I go to my friends and my friends don't know what to do. I go to my family and my family don't know what to do. Amen. I go to the leaders of the land, they don't know what to do. I go to people here and there and they don't know what to do. But I turn to Jesus and thank God, he's Johnny on the spot, he knows what to do. Amen. And sometimes he don't even tell me what to do. He just speaks sweet peace and said everything's going to be all right. Amen. Have you ever, just think about a mother's love. A little old kid will stump his toe or cut his knee, and a mama will take that and wash it and put in some medicine, put a little a band on it, Band-Aid they call it. I think one of my kids used to say, grandkids wanted to say bandit. They put a bandit on it. And then they'd say, mama would say, it's going to be all right. Isn't it amazing when they're screaming with just a little old bitty scratch on their knee? Like the world's ending, you know. And they're in the arms of the mother, and the mother says, it's going to be all right. Don't you know what a comfort? I've been in his arms a few times. I've walked with him, and he said, it's going to be all right. When he says it's going to be all right, it's going to be all right. Amen. You don't have to worry about it. Praise God. I'm talking about Jesus. When you're in crisis and you don't know what to do. He can give you. When you're in weakness, have you ever got the place that you're so weak and you said, I can't do that. I'm not capable to do it. I'm not able to do that. I'm limited to what I can do. Isn't it good that Jesus can step in and give you that strength and help? Amen. There have been times I had to stand and do things and make a stand on this and make a stand on that. And I was worried about it and touched and disturbed about it. Even my sleep go from me at night and my food where I couldn't eat, you know. But you know what? God said, do it. And you do it. And isn't it amazing when you're doing what God tells you to do, he just gives you that peace, that tranquility. And boy, I'm telling you, this kind of changed your life. And you look at it and you say, praise God. Thank you, Lord, for the health and strength. Amen. What a blessing. When you're going through a trial, a conflict, have you ever had a danger facing some? Hey, have you ever been up on a ladder? Amen. Scared to death. I don't like heights. I'd be 3 feet off the... I'm talking about 3 steps. I'll put it that way. 3 steps off the ladder. Just 3 steps. low enough that I could jump off. And the ladder moved a little bit, and I'm thinking the world's about to crash. And I'm praying, I'm saying, God, help me. Have you ever put yourself in a place, Lord, I'm in a danger. This is a danger spot. And you got more concerned about the danger than you are of your mind on what you're doing, and you're just liable to cause yourself to fall. And you look and you pray and you pray, and God lets you have the strength. You get down and you say, Lord, thank you for that. That's Jesus. Amen. Isn't it wonderful to know this morning He can do all that for you? Praise God. Now I want to get three titles out of the Word of God. Jesus is His name. We're talking about Him, but there's three titles I want to give you. Write these down. We've been over these before, but I want to look at them just a little bit different today. The title Lord, Jesus, and Christ. He's Lord. Would you say amen there? He's Jesus. Amen. Would you say His name is Christ? Amen. When I say Lord and Jesus and Christ, and if I meet Him one at a time, it's talking about the same individual, the same person, the same divine entity. Give God the glory for that. Amen. Now, Lord, that is His title. His title is Lord. We're going to talk about that in the Scriptures. His name, His earthly name is Jesus. That's His earthly name. And Christ is His office. And it also is His heavenly name. Right? All right, Lord. We look at those. All three of those are heavenly. All three of those are heavenly names. Now, we may call people Lord down here. You know, Abraham, it was said of Sarah, she called Abraham Lord. Some of the... you know, the monarchs, and some of them, they may call them Lord. Some kind of kingships, they may call them Lord. But divine this morning, to call Jesus Lord is important. We need to know that. Now, we need to know this. The word Jesus means Savior. It means the Savior. Jesus means the Savior. Or actually, to be more specific, it means Jehovah is Savior. And so I say to you this morning, He is Jehovah the Savior. I'm talking about Jesus, the one and the Savior. You can't separate the Godhead. That's a different message altogether. But Jesus means Savior. And notice something. I give you some scripture a while ago, but let's go to Luke chapter number 1. I give you some scripture that Jesus was supposed to be Jesus, named Jesus, and it was told to Joseph. But I want us to go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter chapter 1 and verse 31. Luke 1, 31. It said in verse 31, and behold, thou shalt conceive. Now we find that the angel's talking to Mary. Verse 30. The angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. In verse 31, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. Both of them were told what he is to be named. That's God's divine way of doing things. Amen. At the mouth of two witnesses, God the Father, God the Son, amen, God the Holy Ghost, brother, two or three witnesses, brother. It was established, the mouth of these two, Mary and Joseph, that they're to name him Jesus. That's his name. Now we find also his mission in Matthew 1:21. And I'm not guess you turn there, I done read it. But it said his name be called Jesus, which and goes on down to say that he come to save. Amen. He come to save. Thank God that was his mission, his purpose to come to this world was to redeem you and me and save us from our sins. Thank God for that. And I give God the praise for it. That's his mission. Now, let's just talk about his title for a minute. His title is Lord. Now, Lord, I want to give you three scriptures. I want you to get this in your mind. You're there at Luke chapter 1. Let's go over to chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 and verse 11. I want you to see these things here. The Bible said, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." That's what Jesus means. Savior, which is Christ, that's the heavenly name. And then it says, the Lord. Three divine names. Lord. Now, you know what a Lord is? A Lord is somebody that has authority over you. Right? He has dominion over you. A Lord is somebody that's in charge, somebody that's in control. And Jesus is not only your Savior, but He needs to be your Lord. He needs to control you. You need to allow Him to have full possession of you, to control you, to lead you, to direct you. He can be your Savior sometimes and still not have control of you. Amen. Some of you like what a fellow said about saved so as by fire. Over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, said some will be saved so as by fire. And somebody said, what's that mean? Well, it just means getting in by the skin of your teeth. That's what somebody said. Amen. And we're not going to get into that this morning because that's a different message. But I'm saying to you this morning, there's some things about us that we need to pay attention to. He's Lord. He wants to have control. Look at Acts chapter 2. After the day of Pentecost and the preaching, something began to take place. The power of God fell. The touch of God was there. Look at chapter 2 of the book of Acts. And we're going to see something here. I pray that God might bless you with it as we look at it. In chapter 2 and verse number 36, he says this, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus," Jesus, that's His earthly name, "whom ye have crucified, both what? Lord and Christ." Divine. Amen. So when you say Lord Jesus Christ, you're admonishing Him and acknowledging Him this morning as Lord of your life, Savior of your soul, and the Anointed One. And we're going to talk about He's the Anointed One, the Heavenly One. You're recognizing His office. We'll talk about His office in just a minute. Now, this may sound a little boring to some of you, but this is some things you need to get settled in your mind about Christ. He's Lord. He's Jesus, and He's Christ. Now, we want to go over to Romans, please. Romans chapter number 10. In Romans chapter number 10, this is a very familiar scripture that people use all the time and don't think they really know what they're saying. But in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, "that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth," amen, "with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord, if He's your Savior, He's your Lord. You may not be allowing Him to rule over you, but He has dominion over you whether you want it or not. You may be a rebel if you want to be, and all you're going to do is have trouble. Now, I want you to notice what Philippians chapter 2 says. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. We was in chapter number 3 a while ago, but let's go to Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, we want to look at verse 11. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 11 said, well, I want to back up and go to verse 9. The Bible said, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name." Jesus is the highest name of all creation and all the universe and all of heaven and all of hell and everywhere else. You hear me? Jesus. That name's going to ring for ages. Amen. It's going to be Jesus and not Mama. You're going to be excited about seeing when you get to glory. It's going to be Jesus and not Daddy when you get to glory. It's going to be Jesus and not your husband or your wife when you get to glory. It's going to be Jesus and not your children when you get to glory. You said, preacher, you trying to bust my bubble? No, I'm telling you, it all centers in Jesus. And no heaven without Jesus. All right, the Bible said, God give me my name above every name. Verse 10, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Now, I may have this twisted up, but I don't think so. I down through the years have heard preachers said at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. And you've even heard me say that right here. But if you look, I believe we're missing it. Look at what it says in verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. I run across that this week. Accidentally. Now, just to show you this, you said, well, were you trying to twist the scriptures? No, sir, I wouldn't want to twist the scriptures. Well, look at verse 11. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Makes me think about those that will stand before the judgment. Great white throne judgment. And they're going to argue their case. They're going to say, haven't I cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And he's going to say, depart from me, you cursed. He said, into everlasting fire. That's where you're going to go. I wonder if those folks are going to bow. I wonder if they're going to confess. You ever thought about that? They should. It didn't say they would. Now, if I missed that and I missed some scriptures, you point that out to me, because I've been preaching the same way all these years. Every knee should bow. Every tongue should confess. But will they? Maybe missing something here. I've been giving you some homework now to go home on. Amen. Find out about you Bible scholars, how much you know your Bible. Amen. Here's a preacher asking you to help me out now. We want to get it right, don't we? Amen. You think on that. And just see, some of you are going to give me 15 scriptures when you go out the door, and you're going to bounce it between my eyes and say, I'm going to mess your dinner up. No, you ain't either. You're going to help me out. Understand that? Most of us, when we quote it, every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. How many of you heard preachers say that? How many times have you heard that said over and over and over? Lots, hadn't you? You know, sometimes we'll misquote it, just a little word. God help us. Well, let's look at this just a minute. Now, we know the Lord means a title. We know Jesus is earthly name and Christ is his office. That word Christ means Christos, or it means the anointed one. Amen. Go to John chapter 4 and verse 29. John's Gospel, chapter 4 and 29. I'm going to find myself a stopping place here and we're going to quit. But I want you to see these little things. Amen. John chapter 4. I just read that verse and I thought I was at John 4, but I was at Luke and it didn't sound right. John chapter 4. John chapter 4 and verse number 29 said, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ or the anointed one? Now, he's been prophesied to come. There are three offices in the Old Testament that they had to be anointed to have that job. One of them was a prophet. They had to anoint them to be prophets. Secondly, I might have them out of order, but the second thing they had to anoint was a priest. A priest could not fulfill or do his job as a priest, as a mediator between the people and God, unless he was anointed. They had to have a special oil. They poured the oil down over their beard, anointed them. And the third one was a king. Every king had to be anointed. And Jesus fulfills all three of those in that anointed place. He's anointed as prophet, priest, and king. He's the prophet of all prophets, the priest of all priests, and the king of all kings. Three anointed offices. So when you're talking about Christ, that's what you're talking about. Now I want us to go to Deuteronomy 18. In Deuteronomy 18, I'm giving you scriptures today. Matter of fact, this don't make much difference what I think or what I say. It's just what the book says. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, please. Deuteronomy 18:15. Deuteronomy 18:15. Still hear pages rattling? I'll wait. Deuteronomy 18:15. Said, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a, what's that word? Capitalized too, ain't it? From the midst of thee of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. Verse 18, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren. You see that? That's Christ. God is saying that in the Old Testament, the prophet is coming. The prophet is going to raise up a prophet. Now, the Old Testament, you find Christ. But in the Old Testament, some have said it many, many times, and I've quoted it, the Old Testament is Christ concealed. And the New Testament is Christ revealed. You see him in the Old Testament through types and shadows, but you see him personally when he come to rule on this earth or to come to dwell upon this earth for 3.5 years. For 3.5 years of ministry. In Genesis, please, go with me to Genesis chapter 49. Genesis 49. And we'll see something about something else. Genesis 49, verse number 10, said, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the beginning of the people be. Shiloh. Shiloh means peacemaker. The peacemaker, the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to Isaiah chapter 9. We're talking about Christ. Now, we're not talking about anybody else. We're talking about Christ. And in Isaiah chapter 9, amen, familiar scriptures for Christmas. Verse number 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's the Shiloh. He came. And then he says in the book of John, my peace I give unto thee. In the 17th chapter, he spends the whole chapter praying for you and me. And Paul talks about praying for the peace of Israel. The Shiloh. Now we find this morning that he's the peacemaker. And then when it comes to his names and in redemption, and I'm going to have to quit there, I could go on for a lot. He's the Redeemer. Not only the Redeemer, but he's the Savior. Not only the Savior, but he's the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Not only that, but he's the last Adam. Amen. He's the author of eternal salvation out of the book of Hebrews. And in 1 Timothy, he's my mediator. Praise God. What a Savior.